not responsive. That's a bad thing. So she's going to have to tutor him on that point. Anyway, I don't want to elaborate on the why of all my opinions, but let's just say I have ample experience. Nice guy, really nice guy. But availability is somewhat of a mystery. In any case, something I did, by the way, this week, actually it was last night, I put up, I acquired a Cradle Point router a while ago. You know, like a lot of routers, it's pretty boring. It's got four LAN ports, a WAN port, some Wi-Fi antennas on the back, and but it also has something else, or two something else's. One is it's got a couple of USB ports on the side and the back. And the other thing it has is a coaxial 12-volt amp and a half power connector. So what I found was that I could plug in a to the USB port, or one of the USB ports, a cell modem card for my laptop, and magically it would just come up and provide local area networking with a Wi-Fi, and the uplink was my cell modem. So everybody gets broadband. It's very cool. So with that in mind, I started trying to figure out how I could put it in a portable box, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where I noticed that the coaxial power connector, while it was soldered in nice and tight, you know, it would sometimes, you know, if it vibrated a lot, the router would lose power momentarily and have to reinitialize, and the internet connection on the cell modem has to reinitialize, blah, 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 blah. So what I did was I pulled it all apart last night and wired in a 2-foot pigtail of red-black zip cord and put an Anderson power pole at the other end. Problem solved. Pulled out the connector and soldered in this and on the board. Put the plus on one side and the minus on the other, heat shrink tubing, all that good stuff. So it's all good now. So the evolution toward the portable hotspot is definitely on its way. And I'm looking forward to this because I think it's going to be interesting. Because my ultimate goal is to raise the whole thing up on the mast on the back of my truck. Wi-Fi, basically, put amateur radio, Wi-Fi, and cellular up on a mast up high, and have it be its own access point for either D-Star, Wi-Fi, or whatever, and then backbone up the internet using a cell connection. And if that cell connection should fail, a wired connection that would also be provided down the mast to plug into some other landline internet connectivity, should that be available and needed. So all cool, very cool. So just a small little project that is fully evolved.
Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
Oh, how long did I go? When I unkeyed, I got a beep. Does that mean I didn't really time it out?
Yeah, that's it. You didn't really.
Okie doke. Very good. Thanks. Anyway, so you can do some really neat things. Now, the Cradle Point's interesting in itself, but I was also reading some stuff on mesh routers, and they're mostly built on the Linksys platforms, the small Linksys platforms, and basically they form a network using amateur radio or using, you know, Wi-Fi connections. Very, very cool as well. If you Google HFMM-mesh, HFMM for high-speed multimedia-mesh, you'll find more information you want to know what to do with. But some cool stuff there as well. And these strategies don't, you know, preclude each other, but it basically would create the mesh networks would create a bunch of access points that would tie things together and create a route to the the shortest route to the highest bandwidth internet connection, if that's the way you set it up. So that'd be very, very cool. So anyway, that way you could build dynamic networks as they drive up to each other or as they're redeployed to each other. It's kind of neat. Anyway, any comments? Okie dokie, any other questions, comments, confusions for the Nets, announcements, concerns, etc.? Okie dokie, as they say. I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. This was quite an adventurous night. Not terribly long, but action-packed. And Jim, thank you for bringing that to our attention. About the LMR 400, that's interesting. So the trick is, don't nick it. Amazing. Alrighty. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, signing clear. And returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. This is WTTTT. Good night, Noel. I think I have bad news. I think my rotator is jammed. And I'll bet you it's the mast. I think the mast might have gotten bent in the thrust bearing. That's not going to be fun. That's going to be beyond not fun. Well, that means I'm going to have to gin pull the antenna and the mast, not down, but off the tower. It's a 3/8 wall aluminum mast, probably finely bent, that'd be my guess, and of course I've got like an 18-foot antenna on top of that, so basically what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to put on a gin pole, cut it with a Sawzall while on the top of the tower, so I'm just looking, thinking of this is just awful, and then have it tied off so that when it goes swinging, the antenna doesn't go crashing down when it inverts. That's just going to be lovely. Oh, man. Enjoy LW2TTT.
Gordon Cases.
Yeah, Andy.
Is it possible that it's frozen? I used to have trouble like that.
I'm thinking it's not frozen, but as much bound, because my son pointed out the other day that he thought that there was a bit of a, there was just a small bend in the mast above the tower, and so I'm thinking it's bound because it's bent.
If you want to check to see if it's frozen, a very quick fix, very easy, you don't have to touch the thing. It's a 12-volt system, run about 3 or 4 volts into it, and it'll just warm up a little bit.
Okay. Well, this is what, the 24-volt system? The Cornell Dublier, right?
Whatever it is, you run low voltage to it, which means it's going to be dissipating a certain amount of power, and that'll melt the ice. I used to have trouble with my rotator freezing all the time, and so I just kept low voltage going on the thing all the time, and never had the trouble.
Well, I've turned it on, and is that the voltage I need to run on it, or are you talking about on the motor itself, on the motor wing?
On the motor itself, nothing to do with the control, just the motor.
I see, just put 3 volts on it, just to, you know, heat it up, but don't actually make it turn.
Right. It's stalled, but if that low voltage, you're not going to do any damage.
I gotcha. Well, we'll see. I think I can do that as well, but I'm thinking it's bent. But I will wait for morning and take my own observations. But in the meantime, I'm going to go see if I can find a USB 2 port around here that's guaranteed to be USB 2. And go from there. Actually, I do have something that's USB too. So that was a good suggestion from Rachel. Never a boring day, right, Andy?
Didn't mean to exclude Noel there. I've had the same problem with the rotator too, I mentioned. And if you have I think they haven't been using USB 1 and new equipment for quite a few years, but if you have something that's reasonably current, it should be USB 2.
I will check, but I think what I have here is, well, certainly the device I was using is USB 1. In fact, USB 1.1, I happen to know that, because it's a six-year-old Panasonic machine. That design is older than that.
Yeah. I wish you luck. And Noel, I didn't mean to put you out there and take it back. Sorry. And to OEL in the group, K2ETF.
W2TDT, KC2SQV. KC2SQV, listening. KC2SQV, listening.
K2AMI, KC2SQV. Not John, but James, but one of these days when you get older, you'll get it. How is the net tonight?
I could say it was long. It was interesting. A few good comments, good points. Always a couple of good points. I do two things. I listen to the net and I work on little projects in a shack, so my concentration sometimes is diverted from the net. I don't absorb everything that's being said. I'm sorry, James. I know it began with a J, and you know, when you get to me, be my age, to even get close to a name is close.
When you throw that hand grenade, it's going to go off somewhere. My brother is John. He's in the Navy in Charleston. He's NZC, KC2NZC. Yeah, and my brother, Jeremy, is KC2 something or other. So I'm not really sure. Now, working on my general, I've been progressing with the studying. What I've decided to do is take Gordon West's book and type out every question with the correct answer and the explanation. And I believe there's a little under 500 answers. My problem with going through a one-day course or even a little course is only one-day courses, you don't get anything out of it. And with the long courses, you can't always make the courses. So I think this is what I'm going to go with. And I guess I'll just ask what your opinion on that is. And then go from there. Back over to you.
John, I didn't have to do much studying in the book. I read through the book once when I took it back in my days. There was only two questions, AC or DC. I have a background of electronic engineering and electronic experience, so reading the book and picking up the technical problems was easy. The hardest problem was memorization of the different frequencies and the bands and the bandwidths and the assigned portions to the different classes. And back in my days, there were more classes and more assignments that you had to know. So I really can't give you an honest opinion about what you're doing, but it sounds like more work than you need. What you just do need is memory. You got to sit down and memorize. That's what I hear everybody saying is the easiest way to solve the problem. Don't try to understand 100%. Just memorize the answers to the questions.
That is a valid point, Tony. With a lack of experience in the technical field, however, I feel that going through those questions, Gordon and his publishers did was with each answer, there's a little blurb about each question. And I, to be fair, I don't write out each explanation. I feel I'm actually learning something along the way. And when I come through the questions on the test, I feel not only will I answer the question, there will be no doubt I have it. And going forward, I will actually know about this stuff. Because ironically, you know, my father for so long, I don't know this stuff. You'd be shocked. It's stuff with my mother too, who is N2SWI, and my brother who is John, and I am James, who is so gifted in this stuff. Not so much with me, but maybe you are correct in that. Yes, I am taking this time to more work than I need, but perhaps I do need it. But we'll see what happens. If it becomes too tedious and overbearing, then maybe I'll take a different route. It's KC2SQV. Back to you, Tony.
Okay, when I took the exam, there were four possible answers. Two of the answers were completely off the wall, and they had no relationship to the right answer. And I could easily determine those two off-the-wall answers. And the other two, I had to study to figure out which of the two actually applied to the question with the correct answer. So I remember having most of the answers selected correctly, but when I couldn't select the right one, it was down for me to a 50-50 chance of passing, because I knew the two that were completely off the wall. Now it gave me a 50-50 chance between the two possible answers, and I succeeded in getting enough right on the test. So it's nice to know everything completely flat out, but it's also nice to know that you passed the test. You know, it's like when you graduate college, they don't ask you what your college grades are. They ask you, did you get an engineering degree, or did you get a bachelor's degree, or did you get a science degree? So, you know, once you've got the general class license, they don't ask you how many you got wrong, you know?
I will have to agree with that. There's so many people in law school, they finish last in their class, yet they do so much better than the first in the class, or at least the top 5%, maybe not always the first person who graduates, the number one in the class, rather. Like I said, my problem is maybe I'm not so gifted in this material. I strive to be, but it doesn't always work. My mind diverts to other things, and oftentimes on these technical nets, I try and wrap my mind around something, and I get so off track. And if you're listening, there's no disrespect to you. It's just and you should definitely listen and go into these topics. It's just very difficult for me to grasp my mind for some reason. I just don't have the background in it, and I guess that's a fault of mine. But that's why I listen to these sometimes. I didn't get to tonight. I had some things to do around here in the ambulance corps. And I was just exhausted. No one wanted to shovel out our path here, so it was left to me. So that's that. Back to you, Tony.
Just to point out the fact that I didn't pass by a 50-50 guessing. I did better than that. I took my extra class license with the 1070 group. Joyce Birmingham was head of the VE session when I took the extra class test, and I had one wrong, one question wrong in the extra class test. It bugged me that I got one wrong. But I knew the subject technically, and I had experience at that point with the band, so it was easy. So, again, experience is a good teacher when you get to that level, and having a good background or memorizing the questions is another good solution. But good luck with it there, James. I hope you do find that you can pass it and do order. There's no rush on it. You know, I don't think I got my license classifications until I was well over 50 years old, so I didn't start as a kid. I was involved with too many other things, like employment and school and so forth, and something called Korean War I was involved with. You know, little things like that that took up my time.
Stand by, one Tony, I have a man. Apologies, Tony, but, yes, as you said, you, had, all these things going on with the Korean War and educating 50s. Actually, there is sort of a rush to get this done because they're changing the format of the general test this year, and they changed the tech last year, and they're changing the extra next year. I guess it's staggered how they're changing everything. So the pressure is sort of on to get everything done, and I might even think about getting the extra done within the next year or so if I'm really ambitious. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's interesting, Johnny, my younger brother, got his license before I did. I've been an amateur radio operator 3 years last month. Forget the exact day, but I got it last month. So, I guess the pressure was on for me to at least get it before Jeremy. He's 14 now, but he has it. I don't think he has much of a rush for him to get his general. But I know the average age of the amateur radio operator is in the 50s, and, you know, there's a movement from at least my father to make it younger, so, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, back over to you.
I do admire your dad's direction on you. I'm sure there's a firm hand placed a little bit below the belt sometimes, pushing you forward, and I do admire that effort on his part. I have two guys here that I can't push in any direction. They're both teenagers. Well, one's a teenager and one's 25, and they all want to do their own thing. They don't want to do what Dad wants. So I just sit back and let them try. When they get messed up, I'll help them.
You know, at least they got a good home and all that. Not everyone. My dad used to, he had to take me kicking and screaming basically to the ham radio license class. I bet he's sitting here listening and just having a ball about this. But yeah, I figured, oh, my brother's gonna do it, I have to do it. And there's all these arguments about not doing it and not becoming an operator. And then, like, well, why wouldn't you do it? So I can make all these arguments about why wouldn't I become an operator, and then it just doesn't make sense. So, I mean, yeah, there's valid points of not going for the license in one day, but, you know, and we can have a decent conversation about that, but beyond that, you know, I think when you're raised in that environment, when you try and claw your way through antennas and transistors and the like, I mean, you just have to go for it.
There's some advantage to your resume by having a ham call on there. You know, when I was in the service, I recall we were in formation lined up in either a company or a battalion level, and the duty sergeant came out and said, we need some volunteers. He says, are there any ham radio operators in the crew? And of course my hand, I said, I'm one. I said, okay, report down to the mess hall. We got a whole truckload of hams to unload. any other ham operators to help him.
Now, my grandfather was in Korea. Now, what service branch were you in?
I was in the Signal Corps. I spent time at Fort Monmouth and Fort Gordon, Georgia. I never got overseas. I was an instructor at Fort Meade, Maryland. Learned at Fort Monmouth and went to Fort Meade, Maryland as an instructor.
I was rudely interrupted by my father, who called. Can you repeat that? I apologize.
I was spent my time learning at Fort Monmouth in New Jersey here, Fort Monmouth. And after I qualified with a pretty good grade, they sent me as an instructor down to Fort Meade, Maryland, where I became an instructor in a signal school down there at a battalion level.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, with the way things are going, they're closing down Fort Monmouth. You're involved in your community. You need one of the monuments. Just put it somewhere in your town. And that would be nice, but since you were trained there and all that, so that'd be a nice piece of history to have. Be a heck of a thing to have on your lawn, but I think that's pushing it. Definitely somewhere on a field or something. It's something they're trying to do. I think they're having trouble giving the things away.
I don't think it would look good on my lawn. I hadn't heard about that, but it's a possibility. Well, is your dad coming to get you, or what's happening?
Yes, he's coming. He's coming.
No, negative. W2TTT, KC2SQV, you needn't come. I was just telling you, I was talking to Tony on the air. I didn't say anything about you coming to get me. No, I do have a ride up for our conversation this morning. I tried to get you on the air before, no such luck, and then Tony here answered the calls of the wild, and here we are for the last 15, 20 minutes or so.
Well, after the TechNet, your dad re-imaged your netbook for you.
You're my hero. I love you, Dad. All right. Well, that's good. It comes on, it turns on, Windows works and all this stuff.
Yeah, basically, like, you just bought it. The only problem is we're going to have to find the power supply for you. Hey, Tony, have you seen these new 3-pin power cables? They're not like the instrumentation cables we have, let's say, on our PCs, but they've got rounded, they've got like a three-leaf clover kind of configuration for the pins, and the pins are round instead of square, instead of the blades. Have you seen those?
No, negative, Gordon. I haven't seen that law. I don't have a lot of new stuff here. And by the way, I wanted to comment on your high-tech method of recording the entry into the last week's net on, you've got all these electronic devices to enter call signs and data into, and you stick with a paper napkin to enter your call signs?
You know, let's just say my shack was in more of a state of disrepair than it is now, although it's pretty hideous now. And, that's pretty much what I had as an option at the time. And the good news is it didn't get lost.
I'm just stuck on a little technical problem, a stupid little thing. I got a Zener diode in my hand, right? Now, there's a center conductor that goes into a epoxy shell, and there's a flange around that shell. What constitutes the direction of the arrow? The center conductor going into the epoxy or the shell? Which would be the banded end, and which is the arrow end of a Zener diode?
So it's my understanding the part that goes into the
into the epoxy on top. Now, what you could do, Tony, is you could, I think there's a way to measure that the forward and reverse voltage, the resistance, just not the voltage, but the resistance. So I think, yeah, you can just do it that way, and you'll be able to verify it.
I'll have to disconnect one lead to do that, but I didn't want to do that. I guess I'll have to resort to that. But generally, the ingoing lead of the going into the diode is the direction of the arrow. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
I'll work on that principle and I try to prove that with the ohmmeter. Thank you very much. I have to sign. It's after 11. I want to catch the news, find out about some more snow tonight or tomorrow or next day or next week. So you two hang in there. Have a great evening. K2AMI will sign with, let's see, KC2SQT. No, that's not right. yeah, with James there, okay, and W2 Tango Tango Tango.
He needs a vanity call, doesn't he, Tony? He's SQV, not SQP like Stuart. So just remember that the epoxy end is the banded end, if I remember right.
Totally confusing. Okay. I'll have to prove it out. Thank you. K2AMI clear.
OU2TTT. Very good, Tony. Have a good one. James, so what's your arrangement to get home now?
Sorry, Dad. Stand by. Pardon me, Dad. I just had a question. I filled out the call report on the one call we did. Wasn't too bad. But I'm meeting with Pete. He is coming here. Originally, it was going to be someone else from the squad, but that did not happen. But we've arranged to meet. We might either go home or get coffee, then go home, or just get coffee, and then he'll drop me home. What are the three or four options? You had another question? Sorry, I lost track here.
You have answered my questions, my follow-up questions. You've anticipated my questions. You're all good. So you have a ride, you have something to do. Blah, 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 blah. I need to go out. Good.
Yeah, here at the squad, shoveling hadn't really been done with the dispute as to whether or not we're supposed to do it or Public Works is supposed to do it. So we just took a shovel and I just went ahead and did it. They did give us some salt and they lent me a shovel, which wasn't too effective. That's why I asked Mom to bring one down at some point, and she did, and it proved useful. We're not doing the other side for now because we know we're just going to get hit again after talking to a couple people here. But at least we can get in here. Yeah, we can at least get in here without incident and without anyone cracking their head open and becoming an ambulance squad and make a patient center, which is good because we don't like to make patients. My cohort JP agrees, and he's departing. Good night. So we're off and ready to the races here. So the tech net was good. Over back to you. W2TPT KC2SQZ.
Yep, it was good. It was very, very fun. I accidentally knocked the power out of your laptop. I'm getting the impression that your battery's toast. Am I getting that impression correctly?
By toast, do you mean it needs to be charged or just isn't functional as a battery anymore?
Well, it hasn't been on charge very long, so I'm wondering if that's why it's, if I lose power for any reason, it's just burping and dying. So, yeah. In so many words. It's up for grabs as to whether or not the battery is done or the battery just needs a charge. That's not clear to me. But what's your prior experience with the battery?
There's many things wrong with that laptop. The battery, I don't remember being one of them. That's not to say it couldn't be one of them. So I guess it deserves a further examination. The battery is actually one of the things that I think was okay, to be honest with you. So we'll have to take a further look, I would say.
Well, the good news is I found a cord that will, I think, do the trick. So I'm going to go upstairs and try something else. Your laptop is, or your netbook is in the process of booting up, but yet again, I may have accidentally unplugged it or jiggled its power lead or whatever when I was messing with other things, but I'm looking for a cord because those IBM look-alike supplies that I have, the AC cord portion of it are really cheap, probably not UL approved, probably a problem. Because they're coming apart, and they don't give power anymore, so I want to swap out the AC side of the cord that plugs into the module. If it comes up and works, then you have a power supply to use. So that'd be a good thing. So anyway, the welcome to Microsoft Windows thing is sitting here greeting you, but when you get here, so we'll deal with that. So. You have some Windows work to do when you get here. KC2SQV, W2TDT.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. I do. I really do. I wish I could have checked into the TechNet earlier, but I had to take care of a couple things. I guess he appreciated the work I did here. He's not an office or anything, but I guess he found it in his heart to get me some Chinese food, and we had to do the call report, which didn't take too long, and as you know, the Devils won again, 3-2 over the Rangers, which is always adding off to a decent day. Even if it is a bad day, it still becomes a good day if the Devils win against the Rangers, so that is good. Always a good thing. So, took care of that. We did a call earlier this afternoon, too, at about 3:30. I think we rolled. It was nothing. Just somebody who needed to go to the hospital. And that was it. And then we came back. Rather an unremarkable call, which is what you want. And then we came back and finally took care of the report. He looked it over, and then I'm sure the officers will look it over, and then that'll be that. I'm getting more comfortable with this electronic system. It's actually a good system. It only takes about 15 minutes to take care of the whole thing. I've been writing some stuff out. I can see why they like it. So, there you go. And really efficient, actually. Okay, back over to you. Good. Yeah.
Okie doke. Well, glad your call was unremarkable. That's always a good thing. I think I have a replacement AC cord, as I said. Actually power the computer. If it does, then I can plug my computer in and go call it a day, which is what I'd really like to do. Tomorrow's a day where we have to make sure all batteries are topped up, because most of mine are one or two HDs that need charge, but I think all the auxiliary batteries are charged at this point. I think we're good that way.
you're inferring that we're getting more weather tomorrow. Could we be expecting some power outages? I mean, that's something we always do anyway. But in this particular instance, are we really expecting weather that could be getting some power outages? What's the situation?
No, no, no. No reason to alarm you that way. I think by Saturday we might. I want to make sure that we put away. And it's just a matter of backing up batteries and making sure they're all squared. That's a fairly straightforward to do. Here in my office, where the hell is the sliver? I had it in my hand earlier tonight, and it was definitely not ready for prime time. I wonder if I put it in the container. Might have put it away. In which case I'll have to take it out. But anyway, no problem. I'm glad to see that everything's getting cleared away. And there, you're getting more comfortable with
the reporting you have to do for your squad. That's important. That's really, really important to get right. You don't want to be doing that wrong. Well, even still, it's reviewed and over-reviewed, so. But yes, it's good. It's always a good thing. Before I was talking to Tony, who called me John twice before he got it right. I think he's one of the few people I've known a couple decades who hasn't quite gotten the name right. I told him when he finally gets old enough, he can finally get the name right. But that's okay. Good guy enough. He's getting his feedback on how my procedure for studying for the exam, typing out the question and the right answer. He thinks it's a little too much, but for this sort of test, and since my lack of knowledge, I think it's okay. But if it gets to be a little time-consuming or a little too much or stupid, I don't know. I think for now it's okay, and read over the stuff might sink in a little bit better. It might help along the way, because the one-day class, I don't feel I learned much, and a couple session class, can't always commit to that, so I think we'll see what happens. So, that's that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand. God knows I wouldn't do it that way, but then again, you have better success taking tests than I do, so. Wasn't if you decided to go take them than you're supposed to, I did not, so. I'm not going to tell you you're doing wrong, I'm just saying, wow, ponderous way to do it, but if it gets it into your skull, who am I to suggest it's a bad idea? The results are the results. That's pretty cool. By the way, you notice we noticed that the mast on the tower the other day was a little bent? Well, guess what? The mast doesn't turn either.
Is this why you're not transmitting as well as you usually do? Because Tony came in clear as a whistle, whereas I can hear you fine, but it's, I got the fuzz in the background. It's rather unpleasant to hear, I must be honest with you. It's not fun. At first I thought maybe it might be me, but I realized, well, no, Tony sounded just fine. So, it cannot be me. So, it can only be that antenna. But it must be the result of weather, the birds, all that. So, how shall we proceed with that?
You'll assume that I've been on HT all over the house, and this is my real radio up in the shack. The 100 watts pointed at the repeater. Entirely different game.
I could play games with you and say you still sound bad, but then that would be too fun, and I'd be the overconfidence. No, that sounds okay. But nonetheless, that's still a problem. How shall we proceed with that?
We'll proceed by my telling you that if I need to walk around the house and look for something, you're going to listen to my credit signaler sign. In fact, it would be okay to sign because I need to find where the hell I put this cable. I have two of them. I've had my hands on both of them tonight. And I don't have a clue where I put them, so let me bid you adieu for now, James. I'll keep an ear out if you would like on 955.
No. The question was not that. The question was really the problem with the tower. It's not turning. It's on an angle. It will be stable, sure, but wouldn't that need some adjustment, some repair, something along those lines?
Absolutely. When the weather's nice and warm, I'll get a gin pole and tie it onto the mast, I guess. It's its own question as to how I'm going to do that, but that's a whole other matter. And then we'll just essentially saw it off. It's going to be one of those deals where we're going to have to support what's above, cut it with a sawzall, control the load as it comes off, because it's going to come off rather unpleasantly. And then my 3/8 aluminum found its match. And my guess is it's some of the nasty windstorms we've had in the last couple of weeks. So, it is what it is. But the rotator does not turn at this time. And I think it's because it's bound up in the tower because of the bent mast. So with that in mind, we're just going to have to cut it off. But we just can't go cut it off and go cowabunga. It's not like topping a tree. It's like we have a power line below that we have to think about. So there's issues, as they say. So we'll get it squared away. It's not a big problem. It's one of those things where you think it through and magically it works real well. But I gotta think how I'm gonna do a grab and stuff like that. I think I know how I'm gonna do it. But I know I know how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do a double or triple lark's head loose. And then what I'll do is I'll put it through a beaner that's at the top of the gin pole as a way to tighten it. And I'll just slide that through. And then the gin pole will be on a pulley to take the weight once we cut it off. But the trick is we're going to have to push up the lark's head. We'll use webbing for the lark's head. And we'll push it up the mast with another piece of pole. So piece of aluminum. We'll just push it up into the right position before we tension it on the mast. Then once it's tensioned, once it's the load is onto the pulley system, then what we'll do is hit it with a sawzall, and when it springs loose, it'll be that much more interesting. But everything's got to be done with three hands and
repeater. Repeater, timeout, clear.
I'm sorry, I timed out the repeater.
Yeah, you did. Alright, I kind of see how this is going to go, or less. Good. At least you're not going to use some sort of primitive way, like, shotgun, or an axe, or a shotgun and an axe. Those methods would be 10 times more fun, and 100 times more dangerous, mind you. But, for me, like that. Well, if only. But yeah, that's efficient, and I'm sure that'd be a really good thing to videotape to educate other people who are in the same predicament how to do it for next time, and hopefully there'll be no slip-ups, you know, and all that. So that might be something to think about.
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely. Nothing else. We'll have a full video documentation of how stupid we really are. All right, James. Night-night. I got to get going here. But, do you want me to listen on the repeater or not?
Did you ask if I wanted to listen?
No, I'm asking you if you want me to listen.
You said you're going to bed, so why are you going to listen?
I just thought I'd be a good guy. All right. No worries. See you in the morning. KC2SQV, W2TTT.
W2TTT, KC2SQV. Remember, you don't listen when you go to sleep. Sleep time for sleep time, not listen time. Otherwise, you're never going to sleep, and then you're going to be aggravated, and then we'll know why you're mad, because you're listening while you're trying to sleep. That's not good. It's not healthy. Bad. 7-3 bad.
Yeah, I'm getting medical advice, health advice, from my 24-year-old. Gee, I didn't think I hit that age where I have to take medical advice from my children yet. Oh, well. All right. Night-night, James. Love you. KC2SQV, W2TTT.
KC2SQV, clear.
Frequency.